I want you to turn to Mark chapter 9. I want to read this version out of Mark chapter 9. I'll start reading in verse 14. And it goes to verse 29. And when he came to his disciples, he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. They had enjoyed some time apart. They were allowed to enjoy, those three disciples were allowed to enjoy a sight of his glory, the glory of the Lord whom they followed. They were allowed some time apart with him and to enjoy this. And when we have these times, enjoy them. Enjoy them. If the Lord allows you to have some time, some quiet time away from everyone else and be able to actually and freely meditate upon Him and think upon Him, enjoy it. Enjoy it. They came down from the mountain. It's time to get back to work. It's time to save sinners. And so this is when they came back from the mountain. And he saw a great multitude surrounding the other nine disciples. And the scribes questioning them. Actually, they were making actually fun of them over this inability to cast out this devil from this young man. Well, I thought you could cast out devils. You did it before. Was that just a hoax? They were just making fun of them is what they were doing. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, when they beheld the Lord, they saw him coming. Coming, what? To their rescue. He's coming to the rescue of those nine disciples of his. And he's going to take care of this matter, this problem with his child, and going to shut those scribes up. And so, when these people beheld him, they were greatly amazed. And running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you questioning them about? What question ye with them?" He knew what they were doing. He knew they were, like was Ishmael, making fun of Isaac. He knew they were what they were doing. And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master," this is the father, "I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. I brought him to thee," because he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, so he brought him to the disciples. And listen to this. This is a pitiful case. This is a case you wouldn't want on anybody. And wheresoever... Well, let me go back. In verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." He's not able to speak. "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, dasheth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away." He's wasting away. He's so frail now. He's so frail. He's so thin. "He pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here unto me. They brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, threw him down. And he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Satan does not go out without a battle. He doesn't give up his fortress. You know, the strong man of the house is not going to go out quietly. And this is here. He's not going to go out quietly. And he asked his father, the Lord asked the father, "How long is it since this came unto him?" He says, "Of a child." Of a child. He said this. Can you imagine putting up with this for this long a period of time? Of a child. "And oftentimes just cast him into the fire to try and destroy him. And into the waters to try and drown him. To destroy him. But if thou canst do anything." If thou canst do anything. God can do everything. God's going to prove this man's faith. He's going to bring this man to faith. "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, me and my son, and help us." And Jesus said unto him, he threw the if back at him. The Father said, if you can do anything, and the Lord takes that if and throws it right back at him. I'm not the problem. The problem is just what we heard in Bible class, unbelief. See, he takes and throws the if right back at him. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, crying, weeping, Lord, I believe. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me. Help me to believe. Help me to believe as I ought to believe. Help me to believe you. Help me to trust you as I ought to. Oh, we ought to pray that daily. Lord, help me trust you as I ought to. Help me to do that. Help my unbelief. I believe. You know, there's a difference in believing in God and believing God. It does not say Abraham believed in God. Abraham believed God. That's the faith we need. We need that faith that believes God, takes God at His word, and we act on it. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. Now let's go back to Matthew, and we'll finish this up. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, worshiping him, bowing down to him, and asking the Lord for mercy. Here's another parent. This is what struck me a lot. There's another parent coming to Christ for his son, for his child. You know, I have two titles. Two titles. I believe, help my unbelief, but the title that stuck with me was a father's prayer for his son. This was a father coming to the Lord for his child that had been stricken with this devil and with his epilepsy is what he had. Lunatic epilepsy. That's what it translates to be. He had epilepsy. And he was possessed at the same time of the devil. So here he comes, and he comes praying, kneeling down before the Lord. Never give up on your children. I don't care what age, never give up. The Lord is able to save at any age. But also notice here the evilness of Satan. He took this young man when he was a child. He said, as a child, Satan would destroy our youth if allowed to. There's nothing more that he would desire other than destroying you who believe. Nothing more he would desire than to destroy your own children. Bring down the house. Bring trouble in the house. And that's what he's doing here. If he was allowed, he'd destroy our children. And I thought, look at our youth today. Look at our youth today. It's a sad situation. No respect for authority. A few years ago, I was over at the YMCA playing racquetball. And there was what I would call a child. He probably couldn't have been over 10 years old. Him and his buddy came up there cussing like you wouldn't believe. Using words that sailors would use out in the Pacific on a boat. I mean, I was just like, where did you learn such words at such a young age? But he was standing there, him and his friend, just cussing as if we weren't even standing there. I mean, we were several of us adults standing there, just like we were not even there. Sam, no respect for authority, no respect for teaching, no respect for parents, none. Righteous living under the influence of Satan. He may not possess their bodies, but he sure possesses their mind. He sure possesses their minds, their soul. Is there hope for them? Or is there hope for them? The only hope for any age, any child, is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, as long as He's on the throne, you never give up. And He's on the throne forever. He's there forever. If He will show mercy, then there's hope. He's the only hope. He's the only hope that any sinner has. He's the only one who can cast out Satan. He's the only one who can break the power. We sing this in a song. He's the only one who can break the power of canceled sin. He's the only one that can break those things. He's the only one that can break that lust. He's the only one that can break that power. Christ can do it. He's able to do it. And listen to the Father's prayer here. Lord, acknowledge Him. He acknowledges His Lordship. Lord, have mercy on my son. Have mercy on him, for he's a lunatic. He's a lunatic. After reading that, we don't want to use that word so loosely, do we? You think of what that father went through. And he's sore vexed. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and often to the water. How many times did the father have to go into the water and pull his son out? Keep him from drowning. How many times did the father have to jump in and grab his son and pull him out of the fire? How many times did he have to do that? He's sore vexed when his father was sore vexed too. He's going through the same thing. We are no match. I tell you, we are no match for Satan. I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him. They couldn't do anything for him. But listen here, have mercy on my son. Our sons and our daughters need His saving, sovereign mercy just like we need it. Lord, after all is said and done, You teach them in the class. You taught us here this morning. When all is said and done, we need His saving mercy. Lord, if You don't save me, all the teaching in the world is not going to save me. You know, Paul said about Timothy, the Scriptures, he was taught the Scriptures that were able to make him wise unto salvation. But it's Christ that saves. It's Christ who applies the Word. It's Christ who quickens the Word in our hearts. It's Christ who does that. He must save them just like He has saved us. And listen to this father's confession of his son. My son, Lord, he's a lunatic. He's crazy. He has a problem of the mind. Satan has his body, and he's trying to destroy my child. Lord, have mercy. Oh, what a sad case that this man was being put through, and his son. And he's trying to destroy him, trying to cast him in the fire and in the water. Lord, he's trying to destroy him. How often, and I look back at my life, especially when I was young, especially when I was a teenager, I did some stupid stuff. How often would our lives have been destroyed had God, our Father, had allowed it? How often would we have been snuffed out if the Father would have allowed it? This young man was tormented, he was vexed, he was cast into the fire and to the water, but I tell you what, he's not going to die. He's not going, because the Father is not going to allow it. The Heavenly Father. He's not going to allow it. We would self-destruct if God would allow it. But He didn't allow it, did He? Here we sit. Listening to the gospel. Many of you believe in the gospel. That's of the grace of God. That's of the grace of God Almighty. And this also shows us how we are divinely kept from our youth to this day. Even, David said, to our old age, hoard hairs, God has kept us. He knows how to keep His children. He knows how. And notice here, the father recognized his need as well as his sons. I read it to you over in Mark. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. If the Lord has mercy on your children, it's mercy on us. Is it not mercy on us? Oh, listen, there's nothing... No greater blessing than when the Lord speaks mercy to your children. No greater blessing. Have mercy, he said, on us. And the Father here brought him to the disciples. He brought him to the means. He brought his son to Christ. But the Lord was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was not there. So he did the next best thing. He brought him to the means, the disciples, who were able to cast out devils. They were given that power. A few chapters back, they were given that power. So he brings them to them. And they couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything for him. Christ is the one that we ultimately must get to. He's the one that we ultimately must get to. I've had people talk to me in the past. I've had people talk to me about salvation. I've had people talk to me about being saved. I've had people talk to me about the gospel. But I'm telling you this. It's Christ they must find. It's Christ they must come to. It's Christ who they must meet. It's Christ who must speak. It's Christ who must command life. I can talk to you about it. I can tell you about it. He's the one who has to give it. He's the one who has to give it. He is the great physician of souls. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you, put up with you, endure your unbelief, endure your hardness of heart? How long? He's speaking here to this generation. All those people standing there, a generation of Jews. Bring him to me. Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him and the child was cured from that very hour. Perversion. He calls them a perverse generation. Faithless. A faithless and perverse generation. Perversion. Now you mark this down. Perversion follows faithlessness. It follows faithlessness. Where there is no faith in Christ, you will find perversion in religion. You will find perversion in worship. You will find perversion in morals. Where there is no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith, there's no foundation. There's no foundation. God, Christ, judgment are just not realities. You who believe God is real, He is. Christ is real, He is. You believe Him. You follow Him. You worship Him. You meditate upon Him. You think of Him. You're never apart from Him. But without faith, you don't think of Him. You don't believe. No, He's just a historical figure. These things are just historical facts. They don't mean anything. They really don't mean anything. But to you who believe it does, it means everything. And He means everything. But notice here, even in His anger, He says here, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I have to endure you? Bring Him to me. He chides that generation, but He doesn't forget the mercy on that son. Habakkuk said, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. And He says, bring him hither to me. The Lord never drives away the needy, does He? He never drives away the needy sinner. He delights to show mercy. Bring your loved ones to Christ. Bring them to Christ in prayer. Bring them to Christ to hear the gospel. Bring them to Him. Bring them to me. And wait on Him. Wait on Him. He's the only hope they have. The only hope we have is that He will show mercy. That He'll show mercy. That's our only hope. He who delights to show mercy, sooner or later will show mercy. And then Jesus says, rebuke the devil. He rebuked Satan. The Lord did what no other could do. He rebuked the devil. These faith healers, you see them on TV, and they say, I rebuke you, Satan. He's laughing at him. It's a joke. Remember over in the book of Acts, there were some men who tried to perform an exorcism. And they said, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? Who in the world are you? The Lord rebuked the devil. He told him to leave, to come out. I tell you what, he came out. He came out at the Lord's command. At His word, he came out. The devil left that child, and that child, it says, was cured from that hour. Salvation was instant. You know, we grow in grace, we grow in knowledge of Christ, but when the Lord saves a sinner, He's saved. I'm telling you, He's saved. He's saved for eternity. He's saved. He was cured from that hour. Salvation is complete. In Christ is complete. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. He was cured. Can you imagine the rejoicing of that father and of that son? That child, it calls him a child. Can you imagine that? Couldn't you just put yourself in that man's place and have a child that's this possessed of the devil? Epilepsy, and told himself he'd have fits. You know, he'd go along okay for a day or two, then he'd have a fit and throw himself into a fire, then throw himself into deep water to try and drown himself. You imagine the torment that it was not only on that child, but that father? He's cured. He's cured. Salvation is complete. I promise you, Satan won't come back to that young man. He may come back and tempt him, but he will not possess him. He'll never come back and possess him. He's cast out. And notice here. The father did not come to Christ and brag on his son. My good boy. He didn't come and brag on. He confessed he's a lunatic. Lord, save my son. He's crazy. He's lost his mind. He loses his mind. He just throws himself in the fire and the water. He didn't brag on him, did he? When he prayed unto the Lord, he confessed, this is just what my son is. This is who he is. Save him from it. Save him from himself. Save him from Satan. Save him from sin. Lord, save him. Save him from it. You know, the Lord has never saved a good son or daughter, has he? Never saved a good son or daughter. Isn't it amazing that every time a kid gets in trouble in school, it was somebody else's fault? The parents say, it wasn't my son. If it wasn't for your son. No. Same poison of asp is under every one of them's tongue. Same poison of asp is under every last one of them's tongue. God saves sinners. He doesn't save good boys and girls. You know why? God said there's not any. There's none good, no, not one. That includes me and that includes my sons. No, not one. Then came the disciples apart after he had left, and they went, it says in Mark, they went into a house. And they said, why could we not cast him out? You gave us power over diseases and over demons and devils. You gave us power. Why could we not cast them out? Why didn't they not obey us this time? They did before. They obeyed us before. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Well, they didn't recognize that, did they? But he did. He did. But verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. They were so puzzled. They were so puzzled. They were given power over these devils and over sickness, but they couldn't cast out this one. And they just, the nine of them, between all nine of them, it was unbelief. Unbelief. I tell you, it'll grow in any type of ground. Unbelief. Unbelief destroys our usefulness. You can mark it down. You can mark it down. The very root of all my failures, the very root of all my failures is unbelief. It's not the power of God. It's not His abilities. It's unbelief. We don't like to think that there's so much unbelief in us. But he points out to his apostles here, his disciples, which were his apostles. He said, you couldn't do this because of unbelief. That's the problem. That's the problem. Unbelief. It's the root of all your failures. If you believe, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing's impossible to you. There'll be nothing that you can't overcome. Nothing. If you believe. I don't believe near as much as I think I do. That's why I wrote that down. We don't believe nearly as much as we think we do. The Lord knows. He knows. They met with a hard case. And I've seen this. I've seen it in myself and I've seen it in the church. We meet with a hard situation. This is difficult, maybe difficult times. And we're ready to crack. It proves our unbelief. They met with this hard case. The Lord told them they had power to do this. They meet with this hard case. They meet with this one devil that totally resists them. And they crack. They crack. Like children, they crack. It's not working. It's not going our way. You know, it's not working the way it's supposed to. Remember this verse. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. We only have power to do the Lord's work as we believe. As we trust Him. As we have confidence. Total confidence in Him. When we begin to doubt, I heard someone say not too long ago, and I look inside myself and I doubt. I don't think that's the case. I think when we doubt Him. No matter what I see in myself. We doubt Him. To doubt is to doubt Him. And that's what happens. We begin to doubt. He said, without me, you cannot do anything. You can't do anything. He was gone from the nine. He was up on that Mount of Transfiguration. And they begin to waver. They begin to waver. Like Moses was gone up on that mount for 40 days, 40 nights. Where's Moses? We read a little bit up there in the Bible. Where's Moses? The Lord's gone up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's gone from those nine. He takes those three with him. Where's the Lord? And whenever they met a hard case. A difficult situation. They were faced with a difficult situation. I'll show you this here in just a second. And they just quit. They gave up. They quit. We can't do this. Sorry, Dad. We can't cast this one out. Can't do it. And our Lord said to them, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could remove a mountain. You could remove all difficulties. A faith as a grain of mustard seed is real faith. Small but real. It's real. And it's true. Because it's God given. And true faith overcomes all difficulties. True faith now. To truly believe in God. To truly believe Christ. Will overcome all difficulties. True faith will always be active. It won't quit. True faith does not quit. No, it doesn't. Unbelief quits. And true faith always applies to the Lord for help. Always looks to Him. However, verse 21. However, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Prayer that he's talking about here and fasting is hard work. And the laborers gave up. It's hard work. Spurgeon said this, there is degrees in devilry. There are some devils, and that's our Lord telling us this here, there are some more wicked than others. There are some more difficult to deal with than others. That's what he's saying here. Remember when the strong man left the house and went away, and then he came back. What does it say? It says he brought with him seven other devils, seven other spirits. What? More wicked than himself. This was more wicked. This was more difficult. They had never met one like this. They thought they were all on the same level, all the same. You know, just cast them out and say, and they go. No, this one was a lot more difficult. This possession here was a whole lot more difficult than they'd ever faced before. This kind, he says, goes not out without a fight, without a warfare. The strong man trying to keep his house, trying to keep it. Evidently, they couldn't cast him out, so they quit. They gave up. They lost faith, and they gave up. They met some resistance, and they gave up. It's just like as if they went home. Just, well, we can't do anything with this one. I tell you what, we need the faith like that father had. He didn't quit, did he? The nine gave up. They quit, said, well, we can't do anything for him. But I tell you what, that father didn't give up. He didn't give up. If we ever begin to love others like we love our own, we won't give up on them so easy. We don't give up on our own. As long as we got a breath in us, we never won't give up on our own. But if we ever learn to love others like we love our own, we'll pray like this Father. We won't give up. And this is why we have to go through sufferings. This is why we have to go through trials. To make us compassionate. To make us more compassionate toward others. That's why the Lord has to put us through these trials. I was watching the news some weeks ago, and it spoke of someone dying in a wreck. And I thought, that's troubling. You know, that was tragic. But I realized as I listened to it, I didn't feel anything close to what the parents felt or the family felt of that person that passed away. I thought, boy, what must they be feeling at this hour? What must they be feeling? And that's why we have to go through these trials and heartaches that we go through so we can have compassion on one another. So we can feel those things. But this father who would not give up on his son, he would not leave the Lord, fell at his feet, worshiping him at his feet. Lord, if you can do anything for us. Oh, he sure can. He can. The problem is not with him. He said, if you can believe, there's the problem. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And he cast him out. And he was cured from that hour. Satan never came back to that house. He never came back and took possession of that house again. He belonged to the Lord. He belonged to Christ. And while they abode in Galilee, and I'll close, Jesus said unto them, you see, they've been on the Mount of Transfiguration. What a glorious sight they beheld. The Son of God. Behold, they got a glimpse of His glory. They came down and these nine were being tormented by these scribes. And this young man being tormented by the devil and his father being tormented by Satan in the possession of his son. And all this was going on and all this excitement. And they go apart. They go to Galilee and they abide there. And he brings them back to their central message. And he focuses them on this, my death. My death. Whatever goes on out here with us, or in here with us, we never forget Christ and Him crucified. He is the message. That message never changes. It never changes. Because he said, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. This he said for encouragement. They're going to kill me, but I'm going to be raised. And he gave them a specific day. He didn't say, I'll just be raised again. 3 days going to go by and you're going to see me again. Now, it's just going to be 3 days. What encouragement. What encouragement. He gave them even a specific time that they would see him again. You'll see me again. I'll be back. It's like, well, that's a lot more than this, but it's like, I'll see you Wednesday. Today, Sunday, we're going to go home. I'll see you Wednesday. I'll be back. And that's what he's saying to them. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to accomplish redemption. The same thing he talked to Moses and Elijah about. But in 3 days, I'll be back. You'll see me again. Oh, let your hearts be lifted up. But they were sorry, exceeding sorry. Exceeding. So he spoke to them of his death and they became exceeding sorrowful. But listen, the substitute has to substitute. You can't be a substitute and just do part of it. No, the substitute has to substitute. He has to die. He has to suffer what we need to suffer, what we ought to have suffered, and he must die. And when we consider who died, why he died for our sins, it causes sorrow. They will mourn when they look on him whom they pierced. It causes sorrow, but I'm glad he died. I'm glad he died. I'm glad he died for sinners. But look what it took. Look what it took to save me. His sorrows. His grief. His suffering. His death. But he said, I'll be back in 3 days. I'll be back in 3 days. I'll rise again. I'll be raised from the dead. You see, it took more than rebuking the devil to save me or to save anyone whom the Lord saves. It's more than rebuking the devil. It's more than rebuking sin. It's more than, listen, he can rebuke the devil and tell him to leave. He cannot rebuke the law and tell him to let it go. No, he's got to satisfy it. He's got to satisfy the law in order for the law to release me. He has to go and die. His death is the central theme of this whole book. Christ and Him crucified. But here's the good news of it. There's good news at the end of this story. End of this truth. He's risen. We are gathered here this morning to serve and to worship our risen Lord who is seated at God's right hand. He's risen. And we rejoice. We do rejoice that He's risen. Death hath no more dominion over Him. Therefore, it has no dominion over us. That Father said, Lord, I believe. I believe the gospel. I believe You. Help my unbelief. Help me to overcome this unbelief that's still in me. Help me. Okay, Mike.